Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding, illumination, revelation. And Father, that tonight you just speak into our hearts spiritual truth. Lord, that we might walk in greater freedom, greater victory. Lord, and that we might bring glory and honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it strange? There's no egg and eggplant. No ham and hamburger. Isn't it strange that no pine or apple and pineapple? Isn't it strange that quicksand takes you down slowly and boxing rings are square? Why do they call it a ring? Guinea pigs aren't from Guinea and they're not pigs. A house burns up as it burns down. Why do you fill out a form by filling it in? That's weird. And why do people recite at a play and play at a recital? We park on driveways and drive on parkways. And my favorite, if a vegetarian eats vegetables, why don't humanitarians eat humans? That's wrong, isn't it? That some things are just strange. And you know what? Some things are strange in the Bible. Like where the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all as a statement by itself out of context. But there is in those few words a very powerful principle from the Word of God that we need to understand and we need to apply in our lives. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. And this is one of those passages of Scripture that people like to argue about instead of receive truth from. And so I just want to encourage you, keep all your arguments to yourself, and instead let's look at the truth of God's word. Let's not focus on controversy, but focus on principles. Let's don't focus on what we don't know. Let's focus on what we do know. And so here he says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. So what do we know here? Boasting is not good. Can you say amen? Amen. Boasting is not good. Bragging is not good. Pride is not good. Listen, we know those things, and yet it is so much a part of our culture, our society. It's all around us, and so often, if we're honest, we'll find ourselves caught up in that very attitude and mentality. He says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter. It's quite an experience that this man had had. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities or my weaknesses. Now, this is one of those maybe controversial things that you could argue about, but and that's fine. I don't care where you leave this, but it's my opinion, and I think it's pretty evident what he's saying here. He's actually talking about himself, even though he says, I will not boast about myself. I would boast about a guy who had been to the third heaven and up into paradise and had and seen and heard things that it's unlawful to even tell. But he says, but I won't boast about anything except my infirmities, my weaknesses. This is a little different than what we see in our culture today. It's even quite different than what we see in most churches and ministries. He says, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. He's right. Who would boast? A fool. It is foolish to boast. Only a fool boasts about their strength. He says, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. When did you last boast about your infirmity, your weakness? When did you last brag about how you just weren't capable or not smart enough? When did you last boast in your inability? The carnal mind tells us that to boast about our weakness makes us vulnerable, that we're exposing our underbelly. We're allowing others to see our weakness. Let me tell you, most of the time they already know. They already see it. But we're so bent toward pride. Ever since the Garden of Eden, listen, pride has been a problem, and it is still a problem. For every one of us, it is a battle, it is a struggle, it is a temptation, one way or another. That issue of pride is always there. And I'm telling you, if we're going to really be used of God, really live and walk in all that God has for us, we got to deal with that issue. Verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, and that's why I believe that he's talking about himself. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, here's the big controversy. People always want to argue about the thorn in the flesh, what it was or wasn't. And in the process, they miss the real powerful principle that Paul is addressing here, and that is that when I am weak, then I'm strong. Now, you can talk about what you don't know, but let's talk about what we do know. What we know for sure is why. Why did this happen to him? Why did he have this thorn in the flesh? I don't care what it was. Why did he have this? He says very plainly, he says, this happened to me so that I would not be exalted above measure. In the NIV, it says it very simply, where we can, it just kind of hits right where, you know, our vernacular. And today, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited. To keep me, because of these great revelations, this awesome experience that he had had of things that were unspeakable. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited, to keep me from being lifted up in pride, he said, this happened to me. You think there has ever been a weakness in your life? Or something that happened to you that was to keep you from becoming conceited? Y'all are real quiet. Is this one of those messages? I guess maybe it is. See, all of us have those areas of our life that we would just like to fix. You know what I mean? I mean, weakness gone. Pain, trouble, difficulty, gone. But the truth is, is that all of us deal with that temptation towards pride. And let me tell you, this is what the Bible says. Pride goes before destruction. I know some of you think it goes, pride goes before a fall. That's not what the Bible says. It's the same thing, but it says pride goes before a destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. I'm telling you, pride will absolutely bring destruction in your life. It can destroy your family. It can destroy your finances, your career. It can destroy your walk with God. It can destroy any ministry or effective serving the Lord, however God uses you, whatever you want to call it. Pride can destroy it. And so Paul says, to keep me from being exalted above measure, to keep me from becoming conceited, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, well, let's just stop right here for a second. You ever had something you prayed, Lord, three times? Some of you, like, you're thinking, well, how about 30? 300 times? Lord, take this away? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And some of you are not thinking of a thing. You're thinking of a list of things, right? It's like, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying right now. I'm not saying that those things are supposed to be in your life forever. But what I am saying, though, is that if it's that you deal with this thorn in the flesh or pride overtakes you, it's better for you to have a thorn in the flesh than for pride to overtake you. And Paul got it. He understood. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, let's just talk about that for just a second. My strength, Jesus, the Almighty, he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen to me. Not in your strength. I mean, wouldn't it just be awesome? Okay, God, I'm really good in this area. I'm really strong here, so just add your strength to mine and we're all good. Listen, it doesn't work that way because God won't get the glory. His strength is made perfect in weakness. So I don't understand that. I'm telling you, we need to get this, and I believe by the help of the Holy Spirit we're going to, that you see, it is when God is going to get the glory and no man. It's when God is going to be honored and we're not going to be puffed up with pride. That's when God shows up and God does it instead of just the efforts of man. And I'm talking, I believe this, you know, I believe Paul's especially talking, he's talking about himself. His whole life was serving the Lord in ministry. I certainly think that he's talking about that. But I believe the same principles apply in every area of our life. When we realize that we're weak, then we're strong. Jesus says to him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that was all it took for Paul. He said, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, the NIV says, weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in weaknesses, in reproaches, in needs. Do you ever take pleasure in your needs? We just don't think that way, do we? But Paul so got this that he says, I take pleasure in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. You ever brag about your inability? I have some strengths somewhere. I think, maybe. And I say it like that because there are areas where I used to know that I was strong. It's amazing how in those very areas of life it could just blow up in your face by the grace of God, lest we become puffed up with pride. So I don't know for sure about any strengths, but I do know about some weaknesses. You're not going to get much out of me because I'm just not that humble. But I don't have the right personality for a pastor. I know that. Most pastors are very friendly and outgoing and gregarious. I'm introverted and shy, somewhat insecure and uneasy, especially around people I don't know. I don't know what to say. Not the right personality for a pastor. And I've been told more than once. Sometimes I come across wrong. I know we all do, but I just have a gift for it. You know, it's not what I say, but how I say it that offends or hurts people. My facial expressions, they say, you know, it's not what you said, it was the look on your face. And I'm like, what? I mean, I need to carry a mirror around so I can see what they're talking about, because I don't know what they even mean. I'm like, I didn't have a face. What are you talking about? Not good for a pastor. I've been told, you're not a pastor. You don't have a pastor's heart. I'm not really good at going to the hospital. Pastors are supposed to be good at that. It's like a quarterback can't throw the ball. You know, I don't know how to talk to people who have lost a loved one. I don't know what to say. I go to funerals and I just sweat. I'm telling you the truth. I'm so nervous. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I feel like a duck out of water. I feel so inadequate. I'm just telling you, making myself a little vulnerable, aren't I? Some of you go, see, I told you you weren't a good pastor. That's your problem. I'm telling you mine, all right? Imagine yourself going down the road of life and you come to a crossroad, and standing there at the crossroad of life where you've got to make a big decision. There's three figures: a pastor who never finishes his sermon until Saturday night, a pastor who always finishes his sermon by noon on Thursday, and the Easter Bunny. Which of these three will you ask for directions to make your choice? You ask the pastor who finishes his sermon on Saturday night because the other two are a figment of your imagination. Just a little joke. I have all these pastor friends, and they all say, oh, I finished my message on Thursday. And I'm just like, whatever. And they say, if I don't finish by Thursday, I'm just all stressed out. I'm like, I know. I do it every week. And it's really bad. I struggle and I fight and I say, Carmen, pray for me. Pray for me. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Pray for me. And I'm just being honest. A lot of the time, I'm not Saturday night. I'm Sunday morning finishing up. I'm talking about my weakness. I can't believe y'all are laughing at my weaknesses. That's not right. Yeah, there's some worse ones, but we're not getting there tonight, all right? But seriously, I am weak. I struggle. I don't think I pray enough. But he's strong. And over and over and over, somehow by the grace of God, somebody, in my worst sermon, somebody will come up to me and say, "That was just what I needed. God had that for me tonight." And I just say, "When I'm weak, you're strong." You know, the way Paul actually says it, he doesn't say, "When I'm weak, you're strong." He says, "When I'm weak, then I am strong." And if we could just get that when we're weak, when we are totally dependent upon the Lord and we can't do it without Him, that's when we really become strong. Because that's when His power, Jesus said it, "My power, my strength is made perfect in weakness." See, the world brags about their strengths. You know what else they brag about? They brag about their sin even. And I want you to understand, I'm in no way talking about boasting about our weakness in the sense of bragging about our sin. No, we should always be sorrowful and broken and repentant of sin. But at the same time, you need to understand that we all have weaknesses. Now, here's some good news for you. You see, God is not looking for a perfect vessel to put His power in. If we were doing it, that's how we would do it. But God's not looking for the best of the best, the strong one, the smart one, the talented. He's looking for the one who's weak, so that He can put His power on them and so that He will be glorified, that people won't look at a man, but they'll look at God. Now that's the way it is, church. That's what the Scripture is showing us here. First Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. I'm talking about saying you can't do it on your own and testifying that it is God's power at work in your life. Now I want you to remember this. He never promised that He would take away all of our problems and struggles or even our weaknesses, but He has promised us that we could overcome. He has promised us that He would give us the strength that in Christ we can do all things. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I'm just telling you, God doesn't need any big shots. I don't care how many dunks they made, touchdowns. I don't care about their TV show. God doesn't need them. I know y'all don't hear that elsewhere, but I'm just telling you the truth. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world. And the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." See, right there's why. He says, he gives you the why. That no flesh should glory in His presence. That no man, nobody, no way is going to get any of the credit, get any of the glory. It all belongs to God. No flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." The NIV says it, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." I just can't help but think about how especially us men, get so caught up in wanting to prove our strengths. You can carry a bag of sack creed, I can carry one on each hip. I mean, it just... Any of you guys ever done something really dumb just because, you know, you wanted to show how tough and strong or macho or whatever? Oh, come on. It's the root cause of 90% of all hernias. 75% of back problems. I'll tell you, that'll humble you real fast. When you can't even roll out of bed. Whining like a little girl. Ooh. That male ego. It's big for us guys, but ladies, you're not exempt. We all have to deal with this issue of pride, and we need to understand that God gets all of the glory in our life. And see, some of us, we still think that there's areas of our life, you know, we got this. Hey, you know, I need God's help over there and that, but hey, I'm good over here. You're missing it. It is the power of God that's at work in our lives. And I want to encourage you tonight. And here's kind of the other side of that coin. Whatever your weakness, your frailty, your hardship, your battle, there's a power that's greater, much greater than your weakness. You see, all of your weaknesses and failings and shortcomings, they're no match for the power of God. See, some of you think that God can't really use you, or he can only use you a little bit because you're just not all that and you got these weaknesses in your life. That's a lie. That's a deception from Satan. Listen, what will keep you from being used, there's two things I'm going to deal with just real quickly here. Number one is pride. I mean, the day that you think that you're good enough now and you got it together, you don't. And the other thing that Satan uses over and over and over is it's unbelief. It's that you don't believe that God could use you. And the way he's doing that for some of you is he's using guilt and condemnation and making you feel inferior. And you know what? You just need to turn it around on him. You've got the word of the Lord. You need to say, in my weakness, his power is made perfect. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's just been rolling around in me since Sunday morning when we read about David calling himself a poor man. We're going to read it again. Y'all just have to hear it over. You know, when we go to a passage like three times in a row, it's kind of strange to me, but I've just learned sometimes it's because there's something there that the Lord is just wanting us to get. So we're going to read it. Psalms 34, 1 through 6. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I told you Sunday morning, we live in the generation of the boastful, the braggart. Everybody brags about what they're good at least what they think they're good at, right? But David says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. David could have bragged about all of his conquests. He could have bragged about his riches. He could have bragged about his songwriting ability. He could have bragged about being a ladies' man. He could have bragged about a whole lot of things, but he didn't. He said, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Pride. Pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. I mean, when you start thinking about your strengths and wanting to talk about them and brag about them, you just need to hear that alarm going off. Trouble. He says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. See, we've projected this image too much that in Christian circles, it's the people that have it all together. Praise the Lord. And we all put on our, you know, Christian face and everything's great and boast about all the strengths of our life. But what are we saying to the world? I'm telling you, David says, the humble shall hear of it, and they're going to be glad. See, when we boast in the Lord, then other people, they don't have it all together. You know what? They realize there's hope for them. Now, it really hurts a Christian testimony when you commit some terrible sin, and, you know, we play the hypocrite. That's a terrible thing for a Christian testimony. But it also is damaging to our testimony when we act like we have it all together. Because guess what? They know that we're not perfect. But they also know that they're not. And what I'm saying to you is they need to see that it's God working in our life. And what God is doing in our life, what God has done for us, He can certainly do for them. Because apart from Him, we're not any better. Y'all got real quiet right then. Some of you think, oh yeah, I'm better than them. I'm telling you, we got so much pride. It's God's grace, and we need to communicate that. And one of the ways we do that, listen to me, is like David, we boast in the Lord and we praise Him. We give Him all the glory and all the honor. I want to read on. He says, I sought the Lord and He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man. When was David ever poor? Well, he's talking about being weak. David isn't known for his weakness, except for in the case of Bathsheba. You know, everybody always wants, everybody, they do a movie or they talk about David. That's all they talk about. It's one incident in his life, and the Lord even said that he walked in integrity all of his life except for the case of Uriah the Hittite. That's Bathsheba's husband, by the way, if you didn't know that. I just want to make sure. But I want you to get this. This man, by almost any measure, he was strong, and yet he refers to himself as this poor man. You see, he humbled himself before the Lord, and he glorified, he exalted the Lord. And I really believe this. Our pride is a real obstacle when it comes to giving God the praise and the glory that's due Him. So often, we want to talk about our strengths instead of acknowledging our need and giving Him the glory. You know, the Bible says in Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I am strong. Now, some people on the surface, they might think that's a contradiction to the other one, because Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Listen, it's the same principle. It's let the weak say, I am strong. Now, get this. You can't be strong and say, I'm strong. If you do that, you're just full of arrogance and pride.
Well, it's not arrogance on my part. I'm just telling it like it is.
The strong don't get to say, I'm strong. It's the weak. You got to come to the place where you know you're weak. And then you can say, I'm strong. Because it is not a statement of pride or arrogance, but it is a statement of faith. He's not talking about the strong saying they're strong. He's talking about the weak, those who are weak by faith. You say, I am strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you see, when you know that you're weak, you know that God gets all the glory and you don't touch any of it. If you're weak tonight, you get to say, I'm strong. Because when you're weak, then you're strong. If you're strong enough to do it on your own, you won't give the glory to God. But if you're praying and you're asking Him for help and you're relying upon Him, you know, you got all your ducks in a row. And you've done everything right. And so you go and you apply for this job. And you should get it. And blah, 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 blah. Well, that's great. But I want to tell you, you can find out. And you blame it on the economy or whatever. But I'm just telling you, you can have your act all together and all your ducks in a row. You can raise your kids just perfect. And you think that you did it all just right. And it'll blow up in your face. Because we got to get to the place. We got to remember that we all desperately need His help every day in our life. And no matter what we've done or haven't done, we need to get before God every day and ask Him for His help and rely upon Him. And whether it's just raising our own kids or whether it's being used of God in some area of ministry, that everything we do, we are relying upon Him, that it's Him and not us. It's His strength in us. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It's Him in us. It's not we ourselves. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to read 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. I know this has been a little painful tonight, but praise the Lord, it's almost over. We're going to get there. In the midst of weakness and struggle and failures, He can bring us victory. He can turn it around. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are clay pots. And it is God's power in us that causes us to overcome. It's God's power in us that makes us fruitful and effective. It's God's power in us that makes us what we need to be in this world. Some of you, as I said, you're concerned about the fact that you're just an old clay pot. I got to tell you, we all are. We all are earthen vessels, clay pots, every one of us. It is the power of God in us that makes us special. It's the power of God that uses us, listen, for His glory, not ours. Well, he goes on, he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. How does that happen with a clay pot? Because it's got the power of God inside. So don't be discouraged if you're a jar of clay with weaknesses and flaws and you struggle. Sometimes you get sick. Sometimes you fall. Sometimes you fail. Face insurmountable odds and financial troubles and problems with your marriage or your kids. And yet, through it all, listen, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. It is His power at work inside of you. And when you are weak, then you are strong. His power is at work in every one of you. When you humble yourself before the Lord and you boast in your weaknesses and you give all the glory to God, His power is at work in us. The title of the message tonight is When I'm Weak, but you got to remember the second part of the verse. Then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Next time you're struggling, you don't know what to do, you just remember that God is your source. And if you look to Him and if you give Him the glory, you can say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Next time you think you're strong all by yourself, you better back up and ask for the Lord's help. Because I'm telling you, we all need Him every day. Every day. What a different principle from the attitude that we see in the world. To do away with pride, to do away with bragging and exalting our strengths, and instead to humble ourselves that God might be glorified in our lives. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I thank You for the word of the Lord to us tonight. I believe, Lord, that it brings freedom and liberty. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus where people have been bound up by that pride and that old arrogance, Lord, where people have been bound up, Lord, by condemnation and that attitude of being defeated all the time, a loser mentality. Father, I just pray that victory come tonight, that freedom come tonight by the word of the Lord in Jesus' name, that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I thank You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we close this service tonight, I'd like to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. And if you would, I know there are some prayer partners in here tonight. And prayer partners, go ahead and make your way down here. And as we dismiss the service tonight, if you need prayer, I just encourage you to come. Some of you, you're thinking, I don't know how God can use me. Well, tonight, you do. You heard the truth, and you need to come let somebody pray with you. Some of you, there's some battles, some struggles, some things you're going through. You feel so weak, so beat down. Let somebody pray with you tonight. And whatever the need might be, prayer requests you might have, if you want to pray for a loved one, whatever it might be, you're welcome to come. We'll be glad to pray with you. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.